What's going on, everybody? It's Jamal Bolton here with another episode of the Jamal Bolton Show. Today's show, I talk NBA. Talk about the first half of the season. It's All-Star Weekend. We'll get into that. We'll also want to get into the Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid collusion settlement. So sit back, relax. I'll be right back after this quick break, and we'll dive into that and more. Welcome back, everybody. So let's dive into this NBA, first half of the NBA season. It's something that's near and dear to me. I mean, I love the NBA. We all love the NBA. So first half of the season, it's been pretty interesting, to say the least. You know, nobody expected the Milwaukee Bucks to have the best record in the league. Nobody expected them to have two All-Stars, which they do, and Chris Middleton and, you know, Giannis. Well, we knew Giannis was going to be an All-Star. But we didn't expect Chris Middleton to be. But they, you know, they've got a great head coach. I mean, they got Mike Budenholzer, and we all know that he can coach. He's a great Popovich disciple, and you know, Pop is, you know, one of those guys that gets the best out of his people. You know, just looking at the first half of the year, and you know, just overall, like I just mentioned, Giannis and what he's been doing and what he's been able to do. I mean, you look at his numbers, you know, 27, 12, and 6 assists with a block and a half to go, on top of his team winning. He's unstoppable. He's been great. He's amazing. And you're probably saying, why are you mentioning Giannis? I mean, I'm getting into my first half superlatives, and he is actually my first half MVP. He's the guy that I think right now is the best player in the league. I mean, I know it's tough. I mean, looking at what James Harden is doing, he's scoring a plethora of points and everything like that. And I mean, you want to sit there and base it off of that, right? You really want to say, hey, he's getting it done offensively. He's doing X, Y, and Z. It's incredible. I mean, then, but on the flip side of that, you know, Giannis has been incredible. You know, you look at PG. PG's averaging 28, 8, and 4. And he's doing it on both sides of the ball. And he's amazing as well. And OKC, they've got a pretty good record in the league. I mean, they're third in the West. And, you know, they're right behind Golden State and Denver. So they're in contention for a top seed and one of the best records in the league. So I look at Paul George, I look at what he's doing, and it's been pretty impressive. You know, for me, I was skeptical about, like, why sign with the Lakers? I mean, why not go back home and sign with the Lakers? You know, why are you signing back with OKC? You know, not because I didn't think he could get, you know, he could coexist with Russ. I just, why not go back home? Who wants to play the, you know, who wants to play their prime years in OKC? Most people think, hey, he's probably going to regret it or whatever the case may be, but I don't think so. But, you know, look at Harden. I mean, he's 36. Jesus Christ, this is insane. Like right now, 36.6, 6 rebounds and 7 assists. And, you know, that's the highest scoring average since Jordan's 37.1. But I just don't – it's not really going to translate into anything. I mean, is he going to tire out? You know, is he going to – you know, what's he doing? Is it going to actually be – is he going to be able to sustain this for the remaining of the season? I don't know. It's a lot. You know, you look at things like that, you say, man, that's kind of crazy. So – it's impressive, you know, what he's doing. But I also like to say, you know, I think I'm more impressed with the guy who can, you know, his team, who has the better record. I mean, you know, Houston's taking a step back. They've lost just about as many games as they lost last season. And, again, it has nothing to really do with Harden. I mean, you know, Clint Capella's gone. You know, you get rid of Trevor Ariza. It's a different team dynamic now. You know, Mike D'Antoni, and for what it's worth, you know, people kind of love him. And it's like, you know, I'm not knocking him. He's a coach in the NBA. He's got one of the best jobs in the world. But, you know, he's just not the guy that strikes me as a guy that can win a championship. There's always going to be something that comes up short. He's not going to make the proper adjustments. He's going to do certain things, and it's going to make you shake your head, you know. So with that being said, I got Giannis as my MVP right now. Sometimes numbers don't really tell a story. It's about your team's impact and what you do for your team. He does a little bit of everything, and I'm sure everybody who's listening, you can always say every night he's going to do something that makes you go, ooh and ah, right? He's a jump shot away from becoming, like, whoa, like, you know, he put a quote out. It was a quote on Bleacher Report the other day, and he was like, nobody can guard me. I mean, it's not true. He's incredible. He's incredible. He's a freak. I mean, 6'11". I mean, long strides. He can kind of crush over the top of the key and take one giant step, and he's at the rim. So, he's a phenomenal player. You know, of course, when I go to my rookie of the year, you know, I'm going to go with Luka. Luka's somebody I was like, oh, you know, I was skeptical about foreign players, but you know, I think the days of Frederick Wise and Nicholas Schiavelli are over. You know, we don't know who those guys are. I'll just kind of Google them. You know, and, you know, Yi Jilong, Jian Li, those days are over when you got these foreigners coming over that look great when they're practicing against, like nobody's, like, you know, Darko Milicic had a great workout when he was running around chairs and stuff like that. He looked good. He looked agile. And we know what he was in the NBA. But, yeah, man, it's he's like a clear runner. He's a clear runaway winner with this, man. He's incredible. He probably should have been an all-star this year, but the format's a little different. And, of course, the players, you know, their vote weighs heavy as well. So he didn't kind of make it. He was the leading vote getter for a while. He was the leading vote getter in his position. And then, of course, everything else came into play. He didn't make it, but he probably deserved to be there. 27, you know, 20 points, 7 rebounds, and 5 assists a game is incredible. Doing what he has to do. And, you know, Dallas is going to be all right. You know, I think I see it coming, and they're kind of getting resurrected again, where you kind of got – you got Dirk and Steve Nash, and you're going to have Luka and KP. So, I mean, they get another piece, they're back in play. That's just my humble opinion, what I see, but I think they're back in play. And, of course, man, the coach of the year is Mike Budenholzer. For, you know, he came over from Atlanta, and, you know, it just kind of waters welcome there. Not in a bad way. He just didn't really have it anymore. They weren't responsive to him anymore. Now he's over in Milwaukee, and I was like, yeah. But, you can see, you know, the Popovich influence is on him. I mean, they've changed completely. They look like a totally different team. You know, Giannis has gotten a little bit better. He's a good coach. I mean, he's actually a really good coach, underrated guy. But, you know, you work for Pop for years. You kind of learn. It's pretty awesome to see. So I think he's my favorite going in right now, I have to say. There's a few others that are in the running, but he's definitely my favorite as someone to coach. But that's it. You know, that's it for my superlatives, right? And, you know, going forward, you know, the season, we've got 30-some-odd games left. And, you know, I'm sure it's going to be some exciting things happening. But, you know, today – I wouldn't say this is anybody losing their jobs is exciting, but when Dell Demps, he lost his job today. This Anthony Davis drama is a lot. It's becoming a lot. You know, we all know what happened. AD wanted out. He went about it a different way. I'm used to hearing asking players. I'm used to seeing players ask, you know, to be let go or, hey, I want to get traded and so forth. I think the way this thing played out was just terrible. And, you know, looking all day on social media and looking on my Instagram, by the way, is at Jay Bolton Show on Instagram and Twitter, if you're listening, or if you're on social media, do me a favor and follow. But, you know, you're looking at that, and I have people going, yo, like, he should have pulled the trigger on a Laker deal. And it's kind of like, would it have made a difference? I mean, me personally, if a guy doesn't want to be there, let him go. I mean, you know, I mean, Anthony Davis scored 3 points the other night. I mean, that's not really him. I mean, if you think that's him, you're bugging. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're bugging, for real. Like, that dude comes and plays hard every night with 29, 13, 14 rebounds and, like, 2 blocks. I mean, he comes and brings it every night. He just looked like he was aloof out there. He didn't want to be there. You know, he should have got rid of him. You know, trade the dude. Get something back for him, because he's going to walk away anyway. When a guy doesn't want to accept – listen. When a guy doesn't want to accept an extension that could potentially be 6 years over $300 million, you know it's time to go. Let him go. There's no point in holding on, and I think that's where it kind of went wrong for Dell Demps, you know what I'm saying? So, since Dell Demps has been hard to surround him with talent in New Orleans, nobody wants to stay long-term. The DeMarcus Cousins thing looked good for a little bit. He gets hurt. They don't want to offer him any money. He's in Golden State now. He's happy. He's back. He's healthy. He's probably going to win the championship this year if all goes well, according to plan. And, you know, you look at some of the moves Dell Demps has made, you know, his 9 years running the team. You know, he traded Buddy Hield for DeMarcus Cousins, but Buddy Hield would probably help this team out a lot right now. You know what I'm saying? And you look at the drama and everything surrounding it. You got the whole Drew Holiday thing right now. Drew Holiday re-signed back, you know, with the intent on playing with Anthony Davis. You know, Anthony Davis doesn't want to be there no more. So now Drew Holiday's in an awkward situation where it's just like, damn, you know, I've got this contract I just signed, and here I am. I'm just winging it right now. You know what I mean? Because my man is gonna probably be gone, and I don't know what it is I want to do. So, you know, it's just crazy. You know. You know, Dell Demps, there's been a lot of misses with him. You know, they only advanced past the first round once. You know, last year when they beat Portland, they upset them in the first round. You know, you run into Golden State, you kind of know what's going to happen. Anthony Davis did what he could. You know, I don't know if DeMarcus Cousins would have been the answer either. That whole Twin Towers thing was cool, right? I think those two guys, along with Drew Holiday, they could have been something special, right? But I do not know if they would have been able to make the jump and to, you know, to get out of the West. I don't know what would have happened. The basketball gods would have had to line things up. You know, Golden State would have had to be injury depleted. Somebody got upset. You know, they had a top 2 seed or something like that. It just had to line up and, you know, go their way, because it was, you know, just crazy, actually. So I just don't think that they were ever really constructed to win long term either. You know what I mean? Like, you know, he kind of gave up on Buddy Hield really fast. You know, you look at the three draft picks that he drafted. I mean, but Buddy Hield, you know, and what Austin Rivers, Nerlens Noel, and Anthony Davis. You know, AD was the only one on the team. He's about to be gone. So I don't know. You know, 311 and 388 in about 9 years. So, you know, you've been reading Danny Ferry's Next in Line. I just think, you know, for me personally, like the incident that happened the other night where Anthony Davis left the arena with his agent, Rich Paul. It was just like about to get an MRI, and it's dysfunctional as hell. And it's like, bro, if you can't control a team, you got to get up out of here, you know. And you're not running it the way we need you to run it. I'm paying you a couple $1 million a year to run this team and run it smoothly and keep things at bay, and just kind of went left. So, you know, you started to hear that whole thing with the Lakers and stuff like that. I personally would have just pulled the trigger. I'd have got something done. You know what I mean? I'd have figured something out, you know, just whatever. Take what they were offering. I mean, just get it off your hands. You know, if you get a chance to rebuild through the draft and you're smart enough and you can pick talent. Then you'll find somebody. You know, I mean, we all know top picks aren't always guaranteed to be anything. I mean, you can go ahead and look at certain players and in the league that retired, whatever, just flopped out of the league. Top pick don't guarantee anything. Just you're a top pick, you're a talented college player. We all know college and NBA or college and NFL or two different levels, right? So, yeah, man, it sucks, you know, that he lost his job. But, yeah, that's just kind of where the business goes, man. And, you know, we're gonna keep this rolling, you know. So, shout out to Dell Demps. Hopefully, he bounces back. I'm sure somebody will give him another shot to run his franchise. But hopefully, he learns his lesson this time around. You know, pull the trigger, man. Don't get stuff. A star doesn't want to take a $300 million extension. He don't want to be there. I'm going to tell you what, man, if I'm in, Anthony Davis is a better man than me, because I would have damn sure signed that $300 million extension. I'd have worked it out. I'd have found a way to get out of it. You know, give him another chance, man. Like, all right, me and Drew going to make it work. Year two into that deal, I'd be like, yo, I got to go. But I'm getting my money. So, you know, you look at you slide over to Golden State. You know, they just hit their stride with Boogie Cousins, man. You know, I had to bring them in and throw them in because, you know, you can never talk about a season of the first half of the NBA season and not bring them up. But just incredible. You know, of course, the rumors are going on. You know, Kevin Durant, you know, he went off on the media about a week ago. I mean, rightfully so. I don't knock him for that. I know it's annoying. I know it's stressful. Like, just sitting there and going back and forth with the media, trying to explain to them, like, look, I don't know what I'm doing. Just respect me. Respect my time. I know it's got to be annoying. But, man, they're special, man. It's been a special stretch of ball. You know, if it hadn't been for LeBron and, you know, his Herculean effort in Game 7 in 2016, you know, we're definitely looking at a team on the road to winning their fifth straight championship. It's been a crazy run. Like, it's a run that's been – like, this run reminds me of the Bulls run. Like, that was a dominant run, right? You know, the only difference is nobody retired, right? Everybody's still in. Everybody's balling out. But it's been incredible. It's been incredible to see, man. And everybody's like, oh, no, you know, anybody can – listen, I get it. Steve Kirby the first to tell you, Mark Jackson helped build this team. He doesn't forget that. So people who listen, man, be quiet and shut up about that. You get on my nerve. Like, it's annoying. Like, oh, we know Mark Jackson. You have to understand basketball, right? Some people have these teams and some people have these players and they just wouldn't know how to make the proper adjustments, right? Sometimes you just can't do that. I mean, you look at Mike D'Antoni, right? He had James Harden. He had, you know, he's got one of the MVP, right? He didn't make the proper adjustments last year in the series against the Warriors, right? And what happened? Because he didn't make the proper adjustments, they were out. They got eliminated, right? So that's exactly what it is. Steve Kerr just happens to know how to put the right pieces together. Yeah, it helps to have Kevin Durant, arguably the best player in the world, on your team. It helps to have the greatest shooting backcourt in the world. You know, the greatest shooting backcourt ever, I should say. You know, it helps to have a guy like DeMarcus Cousins when healthy, the best big man in the game, arguably. It helps to have a guy like Draymond Green, who's the glue guy, right? It helps to have all that. So sometimes people need to kind of just sit back, relax, and enjoy it, man, and stop complaining about it. But, you know, they're going to hit their stride. When they really, really get it, it's going to be scary, though. So I don't know who's ready to see them. I think they just had a crazy little streak, right? Like, I don't know, with Boogie in, you know, just been kind of running through things and just doing everything that they had to do. So they're scary. You know, just looking at them and what they do. They, you know what, eight out of the last 10, I think they won like, what, 16 out of the last 18. It's just crazy. So that's just one thing. And of course, you know, we stay in the same division and we got to slide over to talk about the Lakers real quick. And I want to talk about this for a plethora of reasons. And one of the reasons being that this whole LeBron James thing, you know, like everything is LeBron's fault. You look at it, you know, oh, you know, he's doing this, he's doing that. Like, I don't know what he thought when he was coming over, right? I'll be the first to say. Like, I don't know if he thought it would be smooth. But, I mean, he had to know it was going to be a rough patch, right? You know, Kuzma's balling. You know, you seen him tonight in the Rising Stars game. He was balling. It's incredible. He always comes to play. This kid has no fear. And if I'm Magic Johnson, I definitely reconsider trading him. He's a great complimentary piece next to LeBron and whoever else possibly comes this summer, which I think they're going to get a major free agent or they're going to get that deal done. So you try to keep Kuz if you can. Brandon Ingram is okay, right? Lonzo Ball, LaVert is still out, but we're probably going to have to part with him, right? Because looking back on that draft and, you know, you're looking at certain things, you're like, well, you know, was it the father, was it, you know, LaVar's pressure, or did Magic really see Lonzo as being like that next great kid that can, you know, lead Showtime? Because for me, I mean, Jason Tatum was just such a stud, you know, and everybody says, oh, what about Donovan Mitchell? Nobody knew Donovan Mitchell was going to be Donovan Mitchell, you know, so, but yeah, man, you know, rumors are circulating. You know, Lou Walt might be done. You know, although he'll make it through the season, they probably make a change after the season. And it's unfair because, you know, LeBron did, you know, miss a lot of games in the middle of the season with that quad injury. He just, you know, Father Time's catching up. But he missed some time. And because he missed some time, they lost their stride. You know, they're not old enough or mature enough on the court to sit there and kind of hold things together while he's out. I mean, you know, I heard a report today. Stephen A. said something like he wanted Ty Lue, but, you know, that's probably not going to happen. I don't really know who they have in mind, but Luke's going to make it through the season, right? But it's got to be hard to coach LeBron. You know, I think a change might be needed. They need to make the right change, though, if they do it. Don't just pick anybody. You know, you have to have a specific type of coach. So somebody that LeBron is going to respect and somebody that's going to get the best out of him, right? And speaking of LeBron, right, we're going to stay here before we move on. You know, you read these articles, you look at First Take, you look at, you know, Undisputed with Skip and Shannon, and it's just kind of like, I mean, everybody was going off today. I mean, you seen what Scottie Pippen said, and he was just like, LeBron, you know, he doesn't have that assassin's mentality. He isn't this, he isn't that, right? And I, you know, for me, there's a lot of things that I love about basketball, right? You know, you get to see some, I think, the greatest athletes ever. These guys are incredible in what they're able to do, right? And I've been fortunate enough to kind of, like, see the best of the best. But, you know, you said that they talk about this dude as if he's dirt. Like, oh, you know, this kid came in with immense pressure on his back at 18. He couldn't be anything less than what he was, right? If he was a guy that averaged 17, 18 for his career, he would have been considered a flop. Seriously, that's a pretty damn good career. If you could average 18, 19 points a game in the NBA over the course of 16 years, for some people, he would have been considered a bust or a flop, right? People complain about what he doesn't do or how he doesn't act. You know, people complain that he only has 3 championships. You know, you do know that if he didn't have a chance to do anything, he would have definitely, if he didn't have a chance to, how should I say, win a championship, he would have got ridiculed and he would have got criticized. Something sick, you know, something crazy, you know. And it's sad that somebody of his stature goes through what he goes through. You know, like, here's a guy that's, you know, arguably the greatest all-around player in the history of the game. Arguably, right? I mean, you can sit there and you can say that. Like, he's amazing. It's just like, why? What do you want from him? It's like, what do you want from him? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just crazy. Like, three-time NBA champion, you know, 15-time All-Star. You know, he's a scoring champion. He's got 4 MVPs. I mean, the dude can do everything. He can do everything. And it's like, what do you want from him? What do you expect from him? And that's just the sad part about it, right? Like, hearing Scottie talk about him, like, he doesn't have the dog in him. Okay. A lot of people don't have the dog in him. A lot of people don't care to sit there and be that aggressive or be that insane on the court. You know, everybody isn't Jordan and Kobe. You know, I think, you know, he's the most scrutinized guy to have the numbers that he has. You know, almost 33,000 points. You know, the dude is less than 1,400 assists away from 10,000 and less than 1,300 rebounds away from 10,000. Do we sit there and understand what that is right now? Like, that's crazy. Like, so in about 2 years, he's going to be the first player in NBA history with 10,000 rebounds, 10,000 assists, and over 10,000 points. I've said it multiple times. He's going to have the first career triple-double. Like, like, yo, I don't get I don't get this damn hatred towards this dude, man. I really don't get it. I don't understand it. But I'm not going to try to figure it out because I think people need to kind of lay off him. Yeah, he's not an assassin, right? He's not that kind of guy. You know, yeah, he's definitely not Jordan. Like Isaiah said it today. He's, you know, Jalen always says Kobe is the closest thing to Jordan. He's the remix. LeBron is Magic, the Magic remix, right? Only thing similar to Jordan is the number and athleticism, right? And of course, because he refers to the ghost in Chicago and things like that. So I think people really dig into this too much. And it's like, it's consistent with digging in and digging in. I think he gets scrutinized a hell of a lot. And it's not right. It's not right that he gets scrutinized so much, man. So me just looking into it, I think people should realize what we're watching here, appreciate it, respect it, enjoy it. You know, this curtain's going to close on the show soon, you know, like a couple years, you know, 4 years from now isn't soon, but, you know, time is going to wind down. You know, I mean, I thought he'd be the first player to score 40,000 points. I don't know if that's going to happen now because his role may, you know, I don't know if he's going to be able, it's still going to be at this level in 2 years. I mean, hell, he's been proving everybody else wrong. For this long, he might still prove me wrong. He may be 37, averaging 26 in the NBA. So who knows? And it's like, why quit at that time, you know? But for people who are hard on that dude, man, stop it and knock it off. You know, it's, you sound ridiculous, you know? Think about that. First career triple-double. 10,000 points, 10,000 rebounds, 10,000 assists. I mean, he got well over 10,000 points, but I mean, you know, Kobe doesn't have that. You know, MJ doesn't have that. And it's okay, MJ fans, right? We love MJ. I love MJ too. LeBron does do certain things better than Jordan. I know the question is, like, who's the best to you? Jordan's the best to me, right? Jordan's still the best ever, right? But there are a lot of things that LeBron can do better than Jordan. So, court vision is a lot better, you know? He has a better handle. I think, you know, obviously he's stronger. You know, it's not to sit there and nitpick, but we got to stop disrespecting this man. He's one of the game's greats. You know, today I heard like, oh, you know, I'll pick Kobe over LeBron. Kobe's top, you know, LeBron's top five, Kobe's top seven or something like that to that effect. It was just, no, like, I think somebody said LeBron was top seven and Kobe's top five, whatever it was. But I mean, people say that, oh, I picked Kobe over him. You know, to each his own, man, is what you like, you know? So I don't know, man. Sorry about the rant on LeBron. It really baffles me that people really, they take the time out to sit there and say he's soft, he's this, he's that. It's kind of crazy, but whatever. It makes no sense to me. I wanted to address the New York Knicks, man. It's the Knicks are, oh man, the Knicks give you headaches, man. As a fan, you know, you look at the team. I mean, the Knicks are a laughing stock now. The Knicks are what the Dallas Mavericks were before they got a good owner. You know, before watching the Dallas Mavericks, you knew they sucked. You knew they were terrible, right? So what the Sixers were before the process, before everything kicked into play, when they were just terrible and they were just losing every damn game. It was what the New Jersey Nets used to be, right? It's a lot of teams that were terrible back in the day. Like back when I was a kid, it was a lot of teams that were just bad. You know, of course, the Vancouver Grizzlies when they first came around and they were terrible. But the Knicks, you know, we are those teams now. And I say we because I'm a lifelong fan. You know, no matter what you do, you know, your allegiance to your home team is always there. So as I talk, man, 11-47, it just snapped an 18-game winning streak in Atlanta, an 18-game losing streak, I should say. You know, Kevin Knox is a bright future, you know, but the Knicks, I'm always iffy with draft pick that the Knicks that they pick. You know, Kevin Knox looks good. I think he's going to be all right. Hopefully he stays and doesn't get tired of being here. You know, you look at guys like the Knicks have drafted. You got Landry. You know, not Landry Fields. I'm talking about first-round picks. You look at a guy like Chandler Fry. He's been a serviceable guy in the NBA, but he wasn't a star. You know, you look at a guy like Jordan Hill. I mean, we passed on Brandon Jennings to get a guy like, you know, that's not even in the league right now. Then you look at most recently, you know, we hired Phil Jackson, who was never an executive in any circle, in any way, shape, or form. He's a great coach, but I don't mean you're going to translate to be a great executive. And he picks Frank Ntilikina over Dennis Smith Jr. I mean, no disrespect to Frank because he's an NBA player again and making a great living. But I'm calling like I see it. Like, he's not an NBA player like that. I mean, he's not that good. You know, you got Dennis Smith Jr. there now, and you're going to look at it like Dennis Smith is on the team now, right? You should have just drafted him from the gate. Things would have been a little bit different. The dude plays hard. He's awesome. He's athletic. He's box office. And it's just like, yo, we got Frank now. And Frank is just here. It's just, it's crazy, right? How it happens, right? Phil Jackson drafted the kid because he said he could quote unquote run the triangle. And it's just like, ugh. You know, but, you know, we traded a franchise cornerstone in Porzingis. You know, I guess he realized, look, they ain't going to be any good. I want to get up out of here. You know, most of the time I'll be like, yo, you're bugging, but he's correct. You know, so it's just a lot, man. It's a terrible time to be a Knicks fan, right? And the thing about it is the team is worth $3.3 billion, right? If he sells, he being James Dolan, if he sells, he can probably get about $5 billion because he's selling the Knicks in the Garden, et cetera, right? But I bring him up because he's cursing the franchise. The franchise hasn't been any good under him, right? We had one winning season, right? You mortgage the franchise to get Carmelo Anthony, and trust me, Carmelo Anthony at 26, 27, you take that chance, right? He's young. You figure you got a couple years. We can get a chance. We can get something to happen. They mortgage out their franchise and look at the Denver Nuggets. The fortunes turn for them because they drafted right. They had the right pieces or whatever. They had some assets, and they could make it work, and they just look good after Melo trade. They look better than what the Knicks look like, right? So this has been a nightmare. You know, you get a guy, you don't know how to use him. You don't get the right talent around him. You know, you get one of the greatest coaches to come in and be an executive. He ruins things and just runs things into the ground. You know, front offices in shambles. I just don't think Dolan appreciates it. I don't think he appreciates it at all. You know, whereas you got a Mark Cuban who's there every day. He appreciates what goes into it. James Dolan inherited this. Like, okay, whatever. It's a fantasy. It's a real-life fantasy team for him. He just happens to make real money off of it. He doesn't really care. He's at the Garden because he probably has nothing to do on that particular night. It's called a spade, right? It is what it is. You know, somehow, some way, you know, I'm saying what I'm saying and may come back to bite me in the ass later on in the line, down the line, because I may want a job in MSG, and it is what it is. You know, I think somebody needs to say something. Somebody needs to be a realist with them. It's terrible. It's sad that, you know, the greatest city in the world, and, you know, you look at it like the Knicks have enough money for two free agents. Who's going to take that money? I don't think nobody's going to want to take that money. It's a lot of dysfunction here, man. Now, unless they can prove me wrong in the summertime, then I back off my claims. But I really, really, really think, you know, I really think it's just ridiculous how things are. That's just me, man. Honestly, it's crazy. So, he's cursed the franchise. I think he doesn't appreciate it. I mean, we got Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis. You know, they're out there floating around. And you got Kevin Durant. Kyrie and Kevin Durant will be free agents, actually. You know, AD put the Knicks on the list of trade teams that he'd be willing to get traded to. But come on now, who's he going to play with? Who's he playing with? It'll be the same thing in New Orleans, except to join a better city. That's it. It'll be the same thing. Hopefully he could attract people there, but it'll be the same thing initially. So I'm not putting much stock into that, right? And you know, look, the last time we had a free agent sign, it was Amar'e Stoudemire. That was in 2010. That was one of the greatest free agent classes ever. You know, you got D-Wade, Bosh, LeBron. Obviously, they formed a trio in Miami. And all we got was Amar'e Stoudemire. Now, I'm not knocking Amar'e Stoudemire. I'm not knocking anything about him. I know he did his thing. He was dope. But we got a good year and a half out of him before his knees and his body started betraying him. It wasn't the same anymore. You know, then him and Melo came. And Melo came over the end of playing together for a little bit. But it was never the same, right? So we got cheated as Knicks fans, right? Amari and Carmelo. Amari wasn't healthy enough. It's almost like Bernard King and Patrick Ewing. Bernard King just wasn't healthy. You know, so it's like Knicks fans, generation after generation, keep getting cursed. Hopefully this is something that can change this summer. Because, man, the Knicks really need a change. They need a change of everything. The Knicks stink. It's unfortunate. They stink. It's a laughing stock, right? And I think Fizdale is a good guy. He's a good coach, and I think he deserves better than that. So, yeah, man, it's pretty terrible, right? So, looking forward to All-Star Weekend. Looking forward to the game. I just had to really get my take on the NBA right now. I mean, this, you know, what I thought first half of the season, right? This is my humble opinion, right? It's just me. You know what I mean? So, just wanted to get it out there like that, man. I'm not sorry, man. I'm going to stop saying sorry, man. I'm just giving you my opinion. I don't have any ill will towards anybody. I just think the Knicks need to get it together. That's really what it is. You know, you watching something. It's sad, you know, being a grown man because I won't watch them now. As a kid, you must see TV. What? You knew the Knicks were going to go to war. But watching the Knicks now is just a sad case now, man. Terrible, man. So, but yeah, man, everything looks good as far as everything else around the NBA. It's an exciting weekend. I'm looking forward to the dunk contest. You know, being that he's a Knick now, I'm going with Dennis Smith Jr. Last year didn't work out quite well for him in the dunk contest, but I'm going to go with him this year. I think he's going to pull something out. I think Steph Curry's going to win a three-point shootout. I think Luka Doncic's in the skills competition. I'm going to go with Luka. And as far as All-Star Game MVP, I got a feeling Kemba Walker's going to show up for the home team. The home crowd. So he's probably going to, you know, they're going to get him the ball, make sure he kind of does his thing. So I'm going to go with that for Sunday night. But that's all I have for the NBA right now. You know, again, Stop knocking LeBron. He's not Jordan. He's not Kobe. He's LeBron, but he's damn great in what he does. So I don't know, man. I'm just going to go ahead. I'm going to stop right here. I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to come back. I'm going to talk a little bit of football and a few other things. So sit back, relax, and I'll be back in a few. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back. So now I wanted to dive into the whole Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid thing. You know, as you know, Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid, they kind of settled their grievance case against the NFL yesterday. And, it started with Kaepernick filing a grievance in October 2017 under the collective bargaining agreement alleging collusion against him signing an NFL contract. You know, in layman's terms, he just saying that, hey, I was being blackballed. And for a while, it looked like he was being blackballed, right? It just kind of, you know, you want to say, no, I don't think that'll happen. Nobody's going to do that to him. But then you start to look into things and you look at quarterbacks that have been signed, since he became a free agent. You know, again, his career stats, 12,271 yards, 72 touchdowns, 28 and 30 is career win-loss record, 59% completion percentage. And then you look at the other guys that have just been, I hate to like throw anybody under the bus, but I mean, a lot of guys that were kind of given opportunities, and in some cases, you can just tell, and they just didn't want to, they didn't really want to deal with Cap. You know, Mark Sanchez got called. You know, Garrett Gilbert, Aaron Murray. You know, these are just guys that I'm just going up their name. You know, T.J. Yates. You know, guys whose statistics you're just like, bro, are you serious right now? Just looking at these guys as I'm looking at this list is just kind of crazy. Like. And I hate to have to use people's names. It's just like, it sucks, but he's better than a lot of these quarterbacks. But, for whatever it's worth, he should have been given a chance. I understand from a business standpoint, most owners did not want to deal with what came with him kneeling and things like that. And some owners will never understand, right, what it's like to be a minority in this country, and I get it. It's not really what he protested for, isn't. About disrespecting the flag, some people took it and ran with it, with that argument. I get it, but I still think he deserves an opportunity. I just think people want to avoid it. And I think the settlement surprised me, like it surprised a lot of other people, because I expected this to be a knockdown, drag out battle. But I guess once you start, people start testifying under oath and they start saying certain things and they realize like, oh, my testimony is going to get leaked out. Whatever you can do to kind of prevent that, so you don't look like the bad guy, you're going to do it. And I think this is the case. That's what happened. I was extremely surprised, so I already know, there was some kind of a settlement. I mean, I already knew that, but how much, I don't know. I mean, I've seen the reports anywhere from 50 to 80 million was the number that was thrown out there. And if it was, then, hey, listen, they won either way. Congratulations to them both. But if they got that amount of money, I kind of totally understand. How amazing that is a huge win for them. I agree. He just signed another deal. You can tell with him, it was just kind of like, look, he was blackballed for a little while. Then Carolina stepped up and they signed him, took a chance, and re-signed him again. He's back for 3 more years, $22 million. Cap's still unemployed. So I'm hoping this never happens again to anybody else. There seems to be a lot of pundits that were just kind of like on the mindset like. There's never a collusion case, but let's be realistic. He was kind of shut out. You know what I mean? I'm not here to crap on their process or whomever says what, but you look at NFL Live yesterday on ESPN, and Teddy Bruschi just kind of looked disgusted in the face as if it didn't happen. It was just like, bro, like the dude should have been signed. Some players were getting opportunities that didn't deserve. I mean, some people in some cases, some guys. Like, we're kind of getting called off the couch. Like, you know what I mean? Like, some people, journeymen, like, people that retired, like, in order not to give this guy a job. And it doesn't look good. It wasn't like you weren't trying to hide anything. You know what I'm saying? So, I didn't really get that part of it. But, I mean, everybody has their own thing. They do their own thing accordingly, I'm just huge for them, Like I said, it's definitely huge that they got the opportunity to win. Kaepernick may never get an opportunity to win. I mean, not to win. I'm sorry, guys. He may never get an opportunity to do this again. So, I say you use this platform. You take it and you run with it. You know, so you really have to, in his case, you know, Charlemagne from the Breakfast Club, he always says certain things happen to you so God can work through you. So this may have been his, you know, it may have been for him to go through this, suffer, and get whatever's, you know, take whatever's happening to him. And, you know, realizing now, like with this financial settlement, he doesn't need the NFL. You know, sometimes your story is bigger than the sport that you play. You know, sometimes it's not about you. Sometimes it's about you going back and digging deep and looking out for others. You know what I mean? And doing your part. I'm amazed by it. You know, I'm amazed at some of the criticism that he still takes. How some people really dig in and they, you know, it's, we realize what it is. It's, some people just don't like him just because of the color of his skin or whatever the case may be. But, you know, I'll just say this, man. You know, it was a long time coming. You know, they finally got something out of it. They, you know, hopefully it's the justice that they wanted. You know, with Kaepernick, people are going to say, oh, well, you know, he got offered to go play the AAF and threw out a ridiculous number. I don't even know if that number is true, where he's allegedly asked for $16 million or something like that. You know, I don't really know, but he's got, you know, he's got a victory. They won, period. There's no other way to put it. I can't really sit there and dig deep into it. Like I said, I didn't really dive into it as much. I didn't read the articles. I didn't read the details pertaining to it. But I will say this, you know, the owner's not wanting that stuff to come out. You kind of know it wasn't going to be legit. So they were going to get railed in the public eye if that stuff leaked out. So, I mean, you know, kudos to Cap and kudos to Eric Reed. While I'm in the NFL, I want to slide over a little bit to the Cleveland Browns. You know, they just signed Kareem Hunt. And if anybody remembers Kareem Hunt, I'm sure you remember what happened. He was playing with the Kansas City Chiefs. He had a situation where, you know, he struck a female, which is a no-no, right? He got released in December. Video resurfaced, you know, surfaced of him shoving and kicking a woman last February at his apartment in Cleveland. So it's, you know, for me, I look at certain things and I speak from my standpoint. In my case, I've never been the kind of guy where it's like, hey, listen, I got to do this and I got to do that. You piss me off that much. Like, look, I'm not risking who I am. In this day and age, everybody's always watching, right? There's always a camera somewhere. There's always somebody that's willing to do whatever. You know, I don't know what the case was, why the young lady, you know, he got so irate with the young lady. You know, she's not at fault. So she's a young lady. She should never have, you know, professional athlete, a football player. She should never have had this happen. But, you know, he was cut and, you know, he's been placed on the commissioner's exempt list shortly after, before he's released. So he's not eligible to play till till the investigation gets complete and so forth or whatever. So, the Cleveland Browns, they took a chance. You know what I mean? It's a 1-year deal. It's worth more than $1 million, basically, you know, so it was more than the minimum. After this year, he'd be a restricted free agent. But, for me, I look at it as like, hey, look, if he comes, he gets suspended. I don't know. You know, he's already missed a couple of games. You know, that was a self-imposed suspension from the Chiefs. Of course, I'm getting cut. So I don't really know what Roger Goodell is going to do. You know, maybe they suspend him, you know, anywhere from 4 to 8 games. Has he been punished enough? You know, listen, he's young. He made a mistake. You know, you make mistakes when you're young. You know, you look years down the road. I mean, we've all done stuff you can look back on and say, damn, I'm glad I overcame that incident. It's another situation like that. I just think, you know, putting your hands on a woman is a no-no. So I think with the self-inflicted, with the self-imposed suspension by the Kansas City Chiefs, I think what Goodell's going to do for anywhere from 4 to 8 games, I think if he plays right, he does the right things, a model citizen, and doesn't have anything happen again, he'll be okay. But, I mean, this is a big lesson, man. Your career could be over with, you know. And sometimes, you know, you got to be the bigger man and turn the other cheek, you know. I mean, a quick decision could ruin your life. It goes for any incident, whether, you know, striking somebody catching you on camera and you're losing your professional career, you know, or a situation when somebody's angry in the street, right, and they do something silly or dumb and they harm somebody and they, you know, they do something fatal and you're sitting in jail and you say, damn, why did I just listen for that split second? So this is another case of, you know, kind of be easy, hold your composure, and you know, try to make the most of it. You know what I mean? So that's just how I see it. And, you know, and that's just how it's seen, you know, but, you know, good luck to him, I guess. Good luck to them. I mean, he helps them tremendously. They've improved a lot. You know, they got Baker Mayfield, so they've got their quarterback of the future. They seem to be headed in the right direction. They've made some changes. So hopefully, you know, from a football standpoint, you know, it'll work in Cleveland's favor and they'll be off to the races and actually be competitive again, you know. And of course, you know, before I get off the football topic, you know, Heisman Trophy winner Kyler Murray, you know, he's giving up baseball so people are sitting there like, oh, why would you do this? Why would you do that? You know, somebody made a good point to me. I was one of those guys. And I was like, man, why the heck would you, you know, why the heck would you go back to school? I mean, why would you go back and, you know, play football, man? That's crazy. I don't think you want to do that. But it's like, look, you know, he's going to return $1.29 million or the $1.5 million signing bonus the A's gave him last year. You know, he forfeits the remaining $3.1 million that was due on March 1st. The A's would put him on a restricted list and retain his rights, but they don't get a compensatory draft pick for him. So, you know, he's been, you know, apparently Mel Kiper has him in the first round. A lot of people are saying he's not going to be what you think he's going to be. You know, I'm, you know, hey, listen, I'm all for it. You know, I think the grind to get to Major League Baseball, you know, everybody isn't Ken Griffey. Everybody isn't Alex Rodriguez. They're not going to come out 18, 19 and be in the big. So it's a grind, you know, for a guy in his position. I mean, I know he was a good baseball player, but I don't know if he was on their level. And, they, you know, I mean, hell, you got a good amount of money. You take that money, you do the right thing with it. I mean, you'll be good for the rest of your life. But, I mean, with football, the guarantee money is so much more. You know what I mean? You know, so it's for me, I'm happy he took it. I'm happy he took this route. I think he would, you know, he's gonna be a good football player. And I'm looking at what the NFL rookies make, you know, the guaranteed rookie scale. I mean, it's night and day. You get to come in, you get to work. You're actually working behind, you know, the starter, whatever the case may be. Because I don't know if he'll come in and start next year. I do think he'll come in and compete. You know, and a lot of people are knocking him, saying, "Oh, it's height, he's this, he's that." But listen, man, take advantage of him. I think he's one of those guys that you can just let play and he'll go off. You know, I think that whole thing about height is kind of getting a little overrated now. You know what I mean? People do that too much. Oh, he's this, he's that. He's going to be little. He's short. Listen, that guy came in there, stepped right in. He had a great coach and they made it work, man. So I think he's going to be really, really good. I think he has a chance to be really special. And we'll see. You know, you look at some of the contracts that guys signed last year. You know, these guys are all like guaranteed deals. And, you know, Baker Mayfield got $33 million. Saquon Barkley got 31. You know, Sam Darnold with the Jets, he got 30 million. You know, Denzel Ward from the Browns got 29 million. Bradley Chubb got 27 from the Broncos. You know, you look at some of these are just the scales. You know, the top five picks. You know, Josh Allen got 21 million from the Bills. Roquan Smith got 18 million from the Bears. You know, Josh Rosen got 17 million. You know, that's the 10th pick. So, you know, you look at these guys, I mean, the money that's guaranteed is a lot more than he would have got, you know, from the A's and the signing bonus and things like that. So even if he slips to the back of the first round, the last pick, like Lamar Jackson, he got 9.5 guaranteed. So that's what his contract is worth, you know. So it's all guaranteed. So you can't go wrong with that kind of money. You know, you just play the hell out of your, you know, play the hell out of the opportunities that you get and you make it work. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he does. I'm curious like everybody else, you know. You know, again, initially, you know, why not go baseball? But it's like, hey, why not play football? I mean, the guy's got instincts. He's got something you can't teach. And sometimes, you know, you look at Patrick Mahomes, right? I'm not saying he's Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes is a different breed. But, you know, some of the stuff he does in the field is just instinctive, right? So you can't really knock him. And most people say he's unorthodox. And the baseball peers, the football peers will say, oh, no, that's crazy. You're ruining the game. I mean, hell, it's effective, right? So I don't know, man. We'll see though. But shout out to Kyler Murray. Congrats to him. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing what he does, and you know, just excited for him. You know, it's a happy, it's a good time, and so it's a definitely talented crop of players that are playing in the NFL coming out of the NFL draft this year. So, I'll take a quick break. I'll be right back, and I'll end the show. Get my take on some things, and be right back with you guys. Welcome back, everybody. And I just want to say, before I get out of here, I just want to say thank you to all you guys. Thank you for listening. Thank you for staying with me. You know, again, I try to keep things while they're fresh off the press. And try to give it to you as best as I can. So, you know, thank you for that. Appreciate you again. If you're on social media, follow me, Jay Bolton Show, at Twitter and at Instagram. You know, I update religiously. Like I said, I try to be like Bleacher Report, you know, but I'm a one-man show. So if I miss some things, you know, bear with me. But I try my best, and I definitely, I'm doing all I can to get it out there to you guys. So, you know, thanks for the constant words of encouragement. Those of you who do reach out, you know, thanks for listening, offering your opinion. Just thanks for following. Thanks for everything. So, I appreciate that, man. But I'm not gonna hold you guys any longer. You guys go out and enjoy yourselves. Thank you. Just keep coming back. I'll be back soon. I gotta wait till some more, you know, interesting things pop up. But I know we got March Madness coming up, so I'll be back about that. Hopefully, I get a chance to go ahead and cover the Big East tournament, so I could kind of bring some insight on that, and you know, kind of, you know, give my take on what's been going on with that. Last year, I got a chance to cover the NIT. That was pretty dope. So I'm hoping to cover it again. So, but again, man, thank you for everything. I'll be back soon, and I'll talk to you guys later. Peace.